Maar denk vaak even jullie. Sorry, I fell back into my native tongue there. You'll have discovered from the accent, I'm not really from Ballymena. And even though I have been over here for 25 years, I'm still very much Scottish, very much from the Isle of Lewis, and I'll always be a blowin. That's something I've discovered. No matter where I've lived, if you weren't born there, you're a blowin. But I'm happy to be a blowin in Ballymena. Can I just, first of all, say thank you so much to your session for allowing me to speak here this morning and to the ladies of the PW for inviting me. It's always a joy to speak at PW services. It's even more of a joy when you don't have to get up at the scraig of dawn and travel for 2 or 3 hours to get to a church. With just a wee 5 minute jaunt out the road, it was great this morning. And it's a joy to be with you in this absolutely beautiful building. It's my first time in this first Ahochel. I was in the old church many's a time, but your new building is absolutely beautiful, and I trust that you'll use it for the glory of God in the years that lie ahead. I don't know, there's a few men sprinkled about the congregation, and I don't know what you know about PW. Maybe you just think that, well, it's a night I get the remote control all to myself. And even for that, you should thank us women. Maybe you think, oh, that's that meeting that they go to once a month, and sure, they probably share knitting patterns and recipes. But, you know, PW is about a whole lot more than that. In fact, I've never been given a recipe or a knitting pattern. I had to think what that was called, knitting pattern in my life. But what I have experienced in PW is a group of women who come together, who share fellowship together, and who then go out and practice what they've heard. They practice fellowship with other people. They practice serving other people. They practice doing life together within the church and outside the church. And I think that's a tremendous thing. We heard mention in the prayer earlier about the projects, and I just want to update you on last year's projects. We were hoping to buy a bus for Toom Girls Secondary School out in Kenya, and there's the bus that we have bought along with the I can't remember the name of the other fund. That's what happens when you get old. Along with another fund in Church House, we were able to purchase this bus, and it's on the road this past, I think, about 2 months now. So it's being used to transport girls and teachers to the school in Toom in northern Kenya. It's a place that's very difficult to get to, even with transport, but we're hoping that that'll ease things for the girls to get to school. It's a boarding school, so even getting to the school takes hours. It's not just like going up to Four Towns. It's not just like going down to Grace Hill, but it does take hours to get to. So the bus will make a huge improvement for that. And then the home project last year was giving towards the salary for a women's worker up an international meeting point in Belfast. And just listening in church this morning, you seem to have a lot of interest in Muslims and working with Muslims, and you've got missionaries in London working with them. And there's a lot of Muslims here in Northern Ireland, and a lot of them in Belfast. And the international meeting point is there for people of all faiths, no faith, from any background, to come into. They get support with English classes, with filling in forms and all the rest of it when they first come to Northern Ireland. They get fed, they get taught. There's Alpha courses, Christianity Explored courses going on all the time. And it's a fantastic work. But up until this past year, they had no one who could speak to the women. And so Sharon Hearn, one of her deaconesses, is there now, and she is thoroughly enjoying it. And it's a real blessing to the people who come into the centre there on the Lisburn Road. Then this year, you'll have heard in the prayer, we're supporting Mullingar Presbyterian Church. That was opened, I think it was March last year, and we're hoping to equip the kitchen because the kitchen is so important now in the life of a church. And certainly down in Mullingar, they use it an awful lot for reaching out to the community. And I always talk about their mums and tots group, or their parents and toddlers, or whatever they call it. Theirs is called Oodles and Doodles. And I think that's a brilliant name. It just appeals to my sense of humour or something. But even there, the kitchen is being used to make the toast, to make the teas and coffees, and to reach out into the community. And it's a fantastic resource. And then Arran House, which is up in Dundonald, we're hoping to buy a bath. Now, that's not a bath you'll find in B&Q or in Homebase or anywhere like that, but it's a special kind of a hydrotherapy pool. And it's got a hoist to help the residents in and out of the bath. So it's going to be a huge help to the staff there in Arran House. And then James and Heather Cochran working in Portugal, and they're trying to set up a church. It's a very difficult thing because Portugal is not, it's certainly not a Christian country. It's a very secular place, and people are very suspicious of churches. And so James and Heather, along with another couple, they've opened up a drop-in centre, and people can just come in and come and go. They have services on a Sunday and a Bible study through the week, and we're hoping to support them in that, to reach out and to try and build a church in that place. So we would encourage you to pray for them. And then, of course, our deaconesses. And I would just encourage you to pray for our student deaconesses. Rachel Cubitt, who's from Ballymena, from Harryville Church, and Heidi England, who is from Portadown. And they're going through union at the moment, and they would certainly appreciate your prayers. Not Heidi. Rachel is based down in New Mills, outside Portadown, and she'll be based there for the next number of weeks. So do remember her, even as she travels up and down, and as she gets to know the people in that area. You know a wee bit more about PW now, hopefully. In our reading earlier on, we read about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And I'm sure you're sitting there wondering, what on earth has that got to do with Here is Love, with the theme? Well, I want you to cast your mind back a number of years to a popular song by Wet, Wet, Wet. And that's a band we should be familiar with here, the concept anyway. It was from a film, Love Actually. And the theme tune, or the theme song of that film was, I feel it in my fingers, I feel it in my toes. Love is all around me, and so the feeling grows. Do you remember it? Yeah? And you'll be singing that for the rest of your day, the day. Love is all around me. Feel it in my fingers and my toes. How many of you are like that about the one you love? Do you get goosebumps? Maybe more for the younger ones. They get goosebumps and they think, oh, the gall mushy. But that is totally different to what God's love is all about. It doesn't make us go all gooey and slushy. It's about something far deeper than that. And I remember a good number of years ago meeting a man by the name of Johnny Hamilton. He was a minister across in England. He was originally from Scotland, so of course we had a kinship there. But Johnny was brought up in Glasgow, in a pretty rough area, and every Sunday his mother, just to get peace, and I hope you don't do this, but just to get peace, his mother sent him off to Sunday school. I hope you send your children to Sunday school for other reasons. But Johnny was sent to Sunday school every Sunday. And he trudged down the road, and very often he didn't want to be there. He wanted to be out playing with his friends. But every week they were taught a memory verse. And the following week they'd have been asked if they could remember it. And of course, Johnny could never remember the verse. Until one Sunday, the teacher said, it's a very simple verse. There's only three words in it. God is love. And Johnny thought, hey, I might be able to remember this one. And so for the rest of the week, he went about, God is love, God is love, God is love. And he thought, great, I'm going to remember it for Sunday. And he went along to Sunday school. This time he ran because he could remember the verse and he thought he was the bee's knees. And when the teacher asked, who can remember the verse from last Sunday? You can imagine what he was like. Mimas, Mimas. And she said, yes, Johnny, what was it? And Johnny kind of stood up and he said, is God love? And yes, he had got it completely wrong. Completely changed the meaning of the verse by questioning if God was love. Now, Johnny wasn't the most popular person in Sunday school that day. But sometimes, even when we sit in church, our minds play games with us. And even with this theme for PW for this year, here is love. Maybe we can turn it round a bit. And maybe we should be asking the question, is love here? And I'm not meaning is love here within this congregation. I'm meaning is love here? Is love in my heart and in your heart? Is God's love there? Because that's what it's all about. And maybe for you, love means something totally different. It means your family. It means your car, your house, whatever. But none of these things will ever match up to the love that God has for you. We read together in John chapter 6 about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And it's a very familiar story, and probably one that we learned when we were in Sunday school, if we went to Sunday school. If we had read the story, this account, in any of the other Gospels, we would have read that the people had been with Jesus for some time. The crowd had been following him, and he had been teaching them for some time. And that, to me, shows that the primary and the most important thing was that the people heard what Jesus was saying, that the people heard Jesus' message for them for that day. And I'm sure that's why you come to church. You want to hear what God is saying to you. And that's why you read the Bible. You want to hear what God is saying for you for today. Tomorrow, you'll want to hear what he's saying for you tomorrow. But these people had been following him, and they loved to hear him speaking. Now, we don't know what he said to them. But I'm sure that the most important message that he told them was that he loved them. And that is still the most important message that any of us will ever hear. That God loves us. And it's not a wishy-washy thing. It's not a thing that makes your fingers tingle. It's something that gives us hope in a dark world. It's something that gives us hope to carry us through each day. You see, the central message of the Bible is that God loves us, that Jesus died for us, and that we can be saved, that we can know sins forgiven, that we can know peace with God. And you see, here is love, in that Jesus died for us. It's the greatest love story you'll ever hear. And I don't care how much in love you are. I was at an engagement party up in Belfast last night, a couple who got engaged, I think between Christmas and New Year, and they had a party last night, and they were all slushy over each other. Every time their eyes met, you just saw them going. But what the pair of them would say is that love that they share is nothing compared to the love that God has for them and that they've been able to share with other people. Because God's love never changes. God's love for us is unconditional. He doesn't expect anything in return. He doesn't demand anything in return. And just this morning, I read a quote from, I think it was from Christine Kane, and she said, God's love for us is entirely dependent on his character and not on our performance. God's love for us is entirely dependent on his character and not on our performance. So nothing you can do will make God love you more. But equally, nothing you can do will make God love you less. And sometimes we can knock ourselves about and say, well, I did wrong. God doesn't love me anymore. And even as Christians, we beat ourselves up and we say, oh, well, I wasn't able to do that. God doesn't love me anymore. But no, his love is unconditional. It's there, full stop. It never leaves. God's love for us is constant. And today, it doesn't matter what you've done, what you haven't done, God still loves you. Doesn't matter what age, doesn't matter if you're in PW, if you're a child in Sunday school, if you're a man on session, doesn't matter who we are, God loves us all exactly the same. And God is willing to forgive us for anything we've done. And that's the amazing thing. Remember when Jesus was dying on the cross and the agony he went through? And yet, what did he say? He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And that's still his response today. Father, forgive the people sitting in First Ahochel, because really they don't know what they've done. And he's willing to forgive this morning, just the same as he was way back then. So Jesus loves you. God loves you. But the story tells us more. And the story tells us about the miraculous way that God or Jesus fed 5,000 people, over 5,000 people, with a wee boy's picnic, a wee boy's lunch. You see, not only does God want to meet our spiritual needs, that was first and foremost, and that was why Jesus taught the people. He wanted to meet their spiritual needs. But he also understood that these people were hungry. They had been with him for some time. And you know what it's like when you're listening to a long-winded preacher and your tummy starts to rumble and you're hoping no one else hears. Maybe it's just me this happens to. But you can imagine what it was like for these people who'd been with Jesus for probably hours, maybe days, we're not sure, and they were getting hungry. But Jesus didn't just say, oh, well, that doesn't matter. I'm just here for your spiritual needs. No, Jesus made sure that he met the need that the people had. And you know, God doesn't just forgive us and leave us. God forgives us and he travels with us day by day by day. No matter what we do, no matter what we're where we're at, he'll always be with us. And he's interested in all our needs, not just the spiritual, just like the people here. And if other people have a need, then surely we should help meet that need. Because like I was saying to the children, when you give God's love away, he pours more in because it's unending. And the way we can show other people the love of God is by meeting their needs. You see, the folk here were hungry. So Jesus said to the disciples, look, what are we going to do? There was no Tesco's nearby. There was no KFC. There was nothing nearby that they could go to feed themselves. And so he said to the disciples, we have to feed them. And the disciples went out into the crowd and came back with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm hungry, I think that would just about, it might fill me. And I'm only one person. And yet, Jesus took this, a wee boy's lunch that his mother probably prepared for him before he left the house. And he said, look, son, that's your lunch. You know, when you make lunch for the children going to school and you think that'll do them. And yet Jesus took this and it fed 5,000 people. And the thing is, when we give something over to God, then he'll multiply it. This wee boy gave his lunch. Don't know if he understood who was wanting it. Don't know if he understood that he wasn't going to see it in the same shape again. But he willingly gave that. And Jesus prayed over it. He gave thanks for it and multiplied it so that it fed 5,000 people. Now, can you imagine what your life would be like if you gave your life over to Jesus? And you're probably sitting there thinking, oh, but I can't do anything. Who am I? I'm rubbish. I'm useless. I can't do anything. And we all say that. And we all put ourselves down. But if we give ourselves over to Jesus, then he'll take us and he'll multiply all sorts of things. And he'll use us for his glory. And so often in PW circles, the women always say, oh, I couldn't do that, and I couldn't do that. And it's probably the same for you men. And you think, oh, I couldn't. But you know this, what I've discovered is that we always think of the biggest thing. We don't think of the things we can do. We think of the things we can't. And that cripples us from doing what we can. And if you just ask Jesus to help you, then he'll multiply what you have and he will use you. Andrew Murray, the great theologian, penned these words, our love of God is measured by our everyday fellowship with others and the love it displays. So our love of God isn't measured by us coming to church. It isn't measured by us carrying a Bible. It isn't measured by us leading Sunday school or anything like that. It's measured by our everyday fellowship with others and the love it displays. Because so often, it's easy to be a Christian in church. It's easy to say the right words and do the right things in church. But what about outside these walls on a Monday morning, on a Wednesday evening, on a Saturday afternoon? Are we still living the life for God then that we do sitting in church on a Sunday morning? And I know it's difficult. And it's only God can help us in that. Whether it's living with our family, whether it's working in our places of work, whether it's meeting people in the gym, whatever we do, meeting people in the supermarket, our love of God has to be displayed to them in a way that they'll be able to understand and that they'll be able to see clearly. Just over a year ago, I had the amazing privilege of going to Kenya to visit our missionaries out there. And it was a very humbling trip just to see what our missionaries are doing in isolated and very remote areas of Kenya. But we visited Gary and Mary Reed in Old Kinyé, out in the Maasai Mara. Gary and Mary are originally from out by Randallstown direction, and they've been out there for over 20 years now. And in the Maasai Mara, it's a very difficult place to work. The people are very suspicious. The people have their own way of going. They have their own beliefs. But Gary and Mary have been working and working and working. And the day we arrived with them, they were having a fun day for the children, because I think it's once a month or something, they bring the children to the mission and they feed them and have a day of fun and fellowship together. Now, one thing you must understand is that in Kenya, disability is seen as a curse. So very often, children born with disabilities are just abandoned. They can be left at the side of the road. They can be left at someone's house. They can just be left. That's it. Because they're seen as a curse. They're worth nothing. But of course, Gary and Mary know that this isn't true. And the morning that we arrived, they had presented these two children in the photograph with wheelchairs. Now, the little girl on the left, Maria, she had come to the mission station that morning with her sister, and her sister had carried her. Maria, I think, she was about 6 or 7, and her sister had to carry her everywhere because she can't walk. And her sister would carry her to church, she would carry her to school, and she carried her into the mission station that morning. And Gary presented her with a wheelchair. Now, wheelchairs aren't 10 a penny like they are here. I'm not sure had they ever seen one before. But later that afternoon, we had the joy of going home with Maria. We all piled into the back of the Land Rover and drove for, I think, about an hour until we came to this, well, it wasn't a village, 2 mud huts in the middle of nowhere. And about 20 people came running out. And Gary was speaking to them all, and said about the wheelchair, and was for Maria, that the children weren't to play with it, the children weren't to write over it. And I looked round, and there was this little old woman who turned out to be Maria's granny, and the tears were just streaming down her face. Because no one had bothered with Maria before. No one had shown her love like this before. No one had ever given her anything before. You see, here is love. Gary didn't need to give her a wheelchair, but he saw a way that could help. And so himself and Mary bought the wheelchair and presented it to her. That, to us, is just a wheelchair. For Maria, it's a lifeline. Because God's in the middle of it, and God has multiplied the offering of that wheelchair. And this morning, he sees your need. He sees exactly where you're at. He knows if you really have accepted his love, or if you're just playing games. If you just come into church and play the part and then go out and do your own thing. He sees right into our hearts this morning. He sees the good times. He sees the bad times we've been through. And he still loves us. And this morning, here in First Ahochel, he wants to touch your life afresh. He doesn't want you to leave the same way as you came in, but he wants to touch your life in a new way and in a vibrant way. And maybe if you haven't come to that point in your life where you've trusted Jesus, maybe today's the day you can do that. Maybe when you go home this afternoon, you can ask Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive you of your sin. There's nothing complicated about it. So often, we complicate everything. We think everything is too big. But trusting Jesus is just that. Trusting him. And maybe for others of us, there's something that we've been meaning to do to help someone out. And maybe God's been speaking to you. And someone maybe has moved into your development. And you've been meaning to go and say hello. Because sometimes that's all it needs. To show God's love to others. To welcome them. To do something practical for them. Jesus could easily have sent the crowd of people away here. He could easily have said, right, I've met the spiritual need, now go away. But no, he met the practical need as well. And that's what church is about. Yes, primarily the spiritual need. But then we show that through our practical help of others as well. So this morning, has love touched your heart? Is love here? And if it is, are you showing it to those around about you? I pray that even this week that you'll be able to do that, and able to do that in a way that you've never been able to before, because you've allowed God's love to touch you like it's never touched you before. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for the amazing love of God that reaches us no matter where we are, no matter what we've done, and that, Lord, you love us unconditionally because it's part of your character. And so, Father, I pray that for each one in this church building this morning, that you'll show us more of your love. And you'll pour that love into us that we might be able to show to others in the practical things that we do and in our conversations and in the way that we treat people. And so, Father, we just ask your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.